This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
Grab your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to the book of Luke. Billy, grab me one of them waters over there, brother. Luke chapter number 15. Thank you, Billy. Luke chapter number 15. While you're turning there, some of y'all's looking in the Old Testament, you're going to be there for a while. But while you're turning, I want to say thank you for the incredible privilege and honor to get to be here at the Parkway Baptist Church. I love your preacher. I love his family. I love Billy. I love his family. And this is more of like a homecoming for us than it is a revival, just getting to be around some of our best friends. And we're looking forward to what God's going to do this week. I do not do a whole lot of Sunday through Friday meetings anymore, mainly because people don't want Sunday through Friday meetings anymore. Everybody's so busy, everybody's so fast-paced, everybody's got so much going on except God. And I really believe when we booked this meeting over the past several years, we've went this dates, and I've always felt like, man, if we'd go one more night, if we'd go one more night. And I believe with all of my heart that God wants to do something in this area this week. And I hope, listen, let me make a statement that I'm not going to take back. I'm not going to apologize for it. Y'all ready for this? There is nothing in Chattanooga, Fort Oglethorpe, or North Georgia going on this week that is any more important than what's going to go on right here. Amen. Amen. Daddy, hey, Dad, be the man of your house and understand that the ball is not more important than God this week. Yeah, we don't skip church to go play ball. Say amen. We're in God's house. Get your priorities right. Everybody wonders why the kids leave when they're 18 years old and don't want to come back to church, because we put everything in front of God. Amen. Amen. So get the priorities right this week, and let's be in God's house with God's people. And for 5 or 6 days, let's dedicate it to the Lord and give God a chance to deal with our hearts and speak to our hearts and change our life. There's no telling what God is able to do this week. I don't know if you know this or not, but the Democrats or the Republicans cannot fix what's going on in America. I believe the only answer to the problems that we're facing is for this Word of God to go forth and get in the hearts and in the lives of people and change us from the inside out. I'm going to preach a new sermon this morning. I've preached out of this text, but I woke up this morning with this text on my heart about the prodigal son. If you've been in church any time at all, you've heard the story of the prodigal son. You know the story, you know the text, you know the context, you know the background. But let's read just a few verses. I'll give you what's on my heart, and we'll go find some fried chicken, because that's what Baptists do. Somebody say amen. Verse number 11, chapter number 15, just a little bit more volume in the monitor here, fellas. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Verse number 17, the pivotal point of this text. I love these words. And when he came unto himself. How many of y'all is glad for the day you came to yourself? He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. But he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said unto the father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Oh, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us now. As we dive into your word, I thank you for the power of it. Lord, I pray this morning that you'd walk up and down these aisles, deal with and talk to the hearts of people. God, in Jesus' name, I pray, God, if there's one in here that's walked away from you, God, may it be the day when they come to themselves and head back towards the house today. God, for everything you do, we'll be careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. For it is in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, you may be seated. Number one, if you're taking notes today, going to move quickly, we find in verse number 13 where the prodigal son went, W-E-N-T, he went into the far country. The Bible said, and not many days after the young son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. May I say this, though, that before the prodigal son left his father's house to go on this long journey to see the world for himself, and before he went and wasted his substance, and before he left the property that belonged to his father, he had already left a long time ago. I believe it was at the father's table with his father present and his mother present and his brothers and his family around, where his heart began to wander from the things of the father, and his heart began to go wondering about the things of this world. And long before his physical body left the father's house, in spirit he was already gone. May I say, in this room, it is very dangerous to give the devil your mind and begin to wander out of where you are, for it is in that place where the devil lures us. It is in that place where the devil draws us. It is in that place where the devil fills our mind with the junk of this world. It is in the mind where the devil meets with a woman and says, you deserve a better husband. It is in the mind where the devil lures a man and says, you deserve a better wife. It is inside the mind that the devil lures a young person and says, who needs this religion and who needs this church stuff? Just leave it all and go into the world. There's a better life out there for you. It is in the mind, in the home, and in the place where the devil begins to lure our mind away from where the place of God for our life is. But see, we see before he left and went to the far country, he was already gone in his mind. I dare say we'd be amazed how many people are in this church. You're in your physical place, but mentally you're far from God. Mentally you're far from the place where God wants you to be, and your body's here. You're here because you don't want the preacher to talk about you. You don't want people to say, ask where you are. But to be honest, your heart's not been stirred. The Holy Ghost hasn't spoke to you. You haven't had a fresh encounter with God in so long. You can't remember the last time, and you're one step away from leaving the place where you are, and not only be gone spiritually, but be gone physically. He went, but long before he went, he was already gone. He went to the far country. Watch this in verse number 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Not only did he went, but he wasted. He
wasted all of the inheritance that his father had for him that could have lasted him an entire lifetime if he had stayed at the father's house. He's took it. It was rightfully his, but he takes it and he goes to this far country, and can you see him begin to party? How many of y'all know that when you got lots of money, you'll have plenty of friends? When you got lots of money and stuff to give out, you'll have plenty of people that want to hang around and come around. And I see him in the party zone. I see him at the bar. I see him at the houses of ill repute. I see him wasting his substance with riotous living. He's drinking it up. He's partying it up. He's living it up, and he is wasting what he had. And before we know what's going on, he has so spent every dime that he brought with him. May I say this, the far country is not a good place to run out of money. The far country is not a good place to run out of money. He doesn't have money enough to call an Uber driver to take him home. Somebody say amen. He has wasted everything that was come down to him. And before I go and act spiritual, and before you go act spiritual, we look down our long noses at the prodigal son. I wonder if we's to put some of our lives up on them screens today, how many of us have wasted, threw things away that have been handed down to us in good places? He wasted it with riotous living. Being in the far country and broke is not a good thing. Funds disappear. Friends leave. And then the famine comes. There's always an outside element that you and I will never know about. Something that only God is in control of. We think we have everything under control. We think we can go do what we want to do. And let me say it like this, you can choose your sin, but you can't choose your consequence. Yes, sir. Okay, y'all want to shout, y'all want to run laps, I'm going to preach for just a little bit this morning. You can choose your sin, yes, you can go get drunk, yes, you can go sleep around with whoever you want to sleep around with, you can party it up, you can live it up, you can do whatever you want to do, you can click around on the websites that you want to click around on and feel like you're getting away with it and feel like everything's okay and feel like, listen to me young people, you can get on the phone and Snapchat and send as many pictures as you want and think that mama's never going to know and daddy's never going to know and the preacher's never going to hear me well. You can choose your sin, but you do not get to choose your consequence. He's out of money. And here comes an outside element that he wasn't expecting. There's a famine in the land. There's not a person there that's got anything to even give it to him. And now he's on empty. He's living in the consequence of his sin. And we find not only did he went, but he wasted. He's out of everything. And now there's this outside pressure that's come called a famine. And while we see this famine, you and I must understand that sometimes famines are designed by God. Because sometimes it is only a famine that'll get our eyes open and realize that we don't need to be in the far country, but we need to be in the Father's country. And we see in the midst of this famine that in the midst of all of that, he began to be in want and he went. He wasted. Now he's wanting. He's in the midst of this thing. And he said, oh, if I was at the Father's house, it's in the middle of this thing that he's joined himself to a stranger of that country and he's feeding the swine. He's so hungry that he's not even giving a chance but operating and looking, and he's about to eat the husk that the swine did eat. He's in a place where he's saying things he never thought he'd say. He's doing things he never thought he'd do, and he's in places he never thought he'd be. That's what sin will do to you. It's not a pretty picture. It's not a glamorous lifestyle, but sin will rob you of everything you've ever had. Sin will destroy everything you ever had. Somebody better listen to me. Sin will destroy everything you've ever loved. Now the prodigal son is in that far country on his knees. beside the swine, the most unclean animal in the land. And he's eating the husks and the mush and the junk that's left behind. A picture of how low sin will take you and I. He began to be in want. I promise you there was a day when the prodigal son was thankful for that famine. Because it was in that famine that he began to be in want. And after he began to be in want for a little bit, he began to wish. Amen. He began to wish, oh, how many hired servants does my father have that's got it better than I've got? Here I am, I could have had all this, and I've chased after this things of this world, and I've lost everything. And in his mind, the Lord is so working in his sovereignty in the life of that prodigal son. You better believe back at the house, there's a father that's praying for his boy, saying, God, bring my boy back home. God, don't let my son die in the world. And it was the prayers of the father at the house that's causing the famine and causing him to be in want. How many of y'all glad for a daddy that prayed you out of hell and a mama that prayed? Come on, somebody. It was a grandma. It was a grandpa. It may have been a preacher, but I dare say none of us would even, boy, hallelujah, I feel something on that. We would not even be here if somebody hadn't have got down on their knees and begged God on our behalf and prayed hell off of you and I. We ought to thank God today that the God of heaven still hears and answers prayer, for it's the prayers of my mama. I remember waking up as a little boy, and my mama, I remember thinking water was leaking on me because the roof was wet or something, but I remember waking up and my mama would be praying that God would be heavy on me and that he'd keep the devil off of my life. I dare say I'm not in the place where I am because I'm a good boy. I'm where I am because of a mama that knew how to pray and a daddy that knew how to pray and church folk that knew how to pray. Thank God, don't you quit praying. Don't you give up praying. You keep on praying, because it is the God of heaven that hears those prayers. And now the prodigal son is in want, and now he's wishing. Here's what he's thinking. If I could just go back to the father's house and be a hired servant, it'd be better. All his pride's gone. All his ego's gone. All the thoughts of fortune and fame and money and this and that and the other is... God has so put him in a pressure cooker that all he wants is to be back at the Father's house. Amen. Isn't it great how the Holy Ghost can work in our life? All he wants is to be back at the Father's house, even if it's in a different position than how he left. He began to wish to go back to the Father's house. Not only did he wish, but he willed. He said this in that next verse, I will arise and go to my father's house. There's something about that moment when we make up our mind. There's something about that moment where we have come to ourselves. It's like he woke up. How many of y'all know what it's like to see somebody go and sin? It's almost like they turn into a different person. They're not thinking straight. They're making decisions that are irrational. They cannot be convicted by sin. It's as if they don't know it's sin. They've learned to justify their sin. They have cocooned themselves up from any kind of pressure of spirituality, and they're doing what they want to do. They're saying what they want to say. They're living how they want to live, and it's like no matter how loud you yell at them, they don't understand. But the Holy Ghost has so put us in situations where... How did I get here? Oh, I will arise and I will go to the Father's house and I'll say to him, let me be one of your hired servants. He wills, and there's something so very dangerous that the devil does not want you to go, because there's a power when somebody makes up their mind and says, I don't know what the will of God is, but I know what it's not, and it's not for me to stay here where I am. I will go back to the Father's house. If I got to be one of his slaves, I'd rather be one of his slaves than the slaves of this world. And you know what he found? He found that the pretty picture of the world that he thought was pretty, it was disgusting, it was nasty, it was nothing that he thought it was going to be. And he wheeled and said, I will arise and go to my father's house. and things begin to turn around. Look at this. This is why people get discouraged and give up. But every step he took away from the Father's house, he had to take that many steps back. Some people want to come to an altar and pray a prayer. Lord, forgive me. And instantaneously, they want everything to be fixed. But every step that the prodigal son took away from the Father's house, he had to take that many steps back towards the Father's house. Trust is not inherited. Trust is earned. You've hurt people. You've devastated people. And now you're so arrogant you want them just to forget about it and act like nothing ever happened. The truth is, every step you took away, you're going to take that many steps back. But I promise you, you're about to find out that every step back is going to be worth it. The Bible says that on those I wills, there's so many things. I will if you will. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Amen. How many of y'all believe that? Amen. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Little did he know, while the prodigal son's making his way home, there's a father that's on the front porch looking down the road waiting to see if his son's going to come home that day. Kyle, stand up, son. Stand up, Kyle. Every step the prodigal son would take, the father would take a step towards him. Matter of fact, here's what I believe. Take a step towards me. Every step the prodigal would take, the father would take too. Somebody say amen right there. He'd take a step. The father would take a step. He'd take a step. And the father would take a step. And before you know it, he makes that curve around the road, and the father's up on the porch. The father's up there waiting, and he looks down the road, and he's saying, I wonder if today's going to be the day where God's going to answer my prayer and send my son home. Oh God, don't let the world kill my baby. Oh God, don't let the world steal my child. Oh God, send my baby home today. And could you imagine what it was like that day when the father walked out on the porch, and he got to looking down the road, and he sees all off in the corner around the fine curve beside the picket fence, as he sees somebody walking down the road, and the father looks. He's seen other people walk down that road before, but that day he looks. He said, oh my, he's walking like Junior. Oh, he carries himself like Junior. Oh my. Oh honey, come here, honey. Junior, come here. Is that him? Is that him? And he inspects it, and finally he gets tired of guessing about it. He said, that's my baby. That's my baby. Listen to me. The rules and the law said they could have stoned that boy. So the father left the porch and ran to where he was. And he said, get on the ground, Kyle. Get on the ground. He fell on him, and he loved him, and he hugged him, and he kissed him. Everybody's always said, well, why did he fall on him? Because hear me, there was enough Pharisees around there that they wanted to stone him and they wanted to kill him. But the father said, if he's going to die, you're going to have to kill me before you can kill him. It was the father that loved him, that was willing to lay down his life for him. Stay down there, boy. And he got down there and he said, that's my son. He's down there. He said, I've sinned in thy sight. I'm no longer worthy to be thy son. The father said, silly. He said, I tell you what y'all do. He said, y'all go get him a robe. Go get the best robe. And we're going to put a ring on his finger. And we're going to put some Reeboks on his feet. And we're going to put a ribeye in his belly. And we're going to love him. For this my son was dead and is alive again. This my son was lost but is found. And ladies and gentlemen, the story of the gospel is the message of you and I that have wandered in this world. But I'm so glad, good God Almighty, that the God of heaven loves you and I more than we can understand and welcomes us back into the fold. Y'all get an invitation song ready. Get up there and play it, piano. And if y'all know how to do it, go on, boy. Go on. Get up there. He needs to be talked to like that. More than you and I want to come home,
God wants us to come home.
Yes, amen.
Before everybody starts thinking I'm preaching at somebody individually, how many of y'all testify that you know what it's like to go into the far country? Amen. You know what it's like to, don't lie. You know what it's like to go to the far country, and you know what it's like to feel the love and the mercy of God back at the house. Boy, I need to raise both hands, both feet. You Pharisees in the room won't raise your hand. We're going to find some video on you on Facebook this week. A couple years ago, we were in Asheville, North Carolina, and Becky, we were getting ready for our big jubilee, and Becky told me, she said, I'm going shopping. I want you to watch Tucker for a little bit. So Tucker came in, and I agreed to watch him, and I'm usually pretty good at that. But this day, we had so much going on. We was cleaning chandeliers and cleaning up in the church, doing all this work. And come on, boys, y'all play. Make your sermon pretty. Come on. And we's cleaning up around there, doing all this stuff. And after a little while, I kept seeing Tucker run through the church back and forth. And it had been a little while since I had seen Tucker or heard Tucker, which if y'all know Tucker, know that something's wrong if he ain't making noise. And so I was up on this scaffolding. I started looking around. Y'all know that moment when your gut starts wrenching, when you realize I hadn't seen him or heard him. And I remember from the top of that scaffolding saying, "Tuck, tuck. Tuck." Usually, within 5 seconds, that boy would come running back, say, "Right here, Daddy, right here." And that day, nothing at all. And we began to run all over that church looking for him under pews. I thought maybe he fell asleep. We looked everywhere, closets here, there. In my mind, I thought, oh, Lord, he was probably 3 years old at the time. And I remember running to the baptistry thinking maybe he had fell in the every possible scenario began to run through my mind, trying to think where my son was. I don't know if I was more scared about losing him or what his mama was going to do to me when I told her. All over that, we shut everything down, started going through every nook and cranny of that building trying to find little Tucker. Couldn't find him nowhere. It has now been about 30 minutes since anybody's even seen Tucker. I'm right on the edge of calling 911, thinking maybe somebody stole him. Honestly, in that moment, it was pure panic on my face. I couldn't find Tucker. I was back in the church. I remember I was looking under the pews, trying to see if Tucker fell asleep under there. I was yelling at the top of my lungs, hollering for little Tucker. And I got on this side of the auditorium, much like this, there were doors on the side. And the very distant, faintest cry that I would recognize anywhere from out that door. The little child's voice yelling, "Daddy," as loud as you could possibly. But it was through a door that was through a door that was through another door. I heard it. I knew it was. I ran through that door. And it was a foyer, much like that. I ran through. The foyer doors were tinted glass, so you can see out, but he couldn't see in. And Tucker was on that far outside door. There's a playground out behind the church, and I guess Tucker had left the church and wanted to go play on that playground. God only knows how long he was out there. And I guess he was going out there playing that playground when he wanted to come back in and realized he couldn't get back in. And he had been running from door to door trying to get one of those back. I mean, by the time I seen him, he was screaming bloody murder, had a hold of both hands and just jerking on it with everything he had, screaming, "Dad, Dad, Dad." I mean, face swollen red from crying so hard. And when I seen him, I wasn't mad. I ran to that door, opened the door, and he had already started to run to the other door to go try to get the other door. But I yelled, "Tuck!" And he said, "Dada!" And he ran and jumped up in my arms. And I held him. He was uncontrollably crying. I grabbed him.
I sat down on a little bench there outside that door, and I held. He was, I mean, just sucked back crying. And every now and then he'd stop crying. He'd look. He said, "Dad, Dad, I'm not one spanking, Dad, Dad. I'm not one spanking, Dad, Dad." And I said, "Daddy, not gonna spank you, boy. Daddy, just glad to have you back in his arms." And I rocked him and held him, and he said, but Dad, Dad, I'm not one spanking, Dad, Dad." And he couldn't understand it. Finally, I grabbed his face, and I said, "Tucker, listen to me. Daddy's not mad. Daddy's just glad I got you back." He said, "I love you, Dad, Dad." And he threw his arms around me, and I held him. And I sat there and held him. And he fell asleep in my arms, and the Holy Ghost come sat beside me. I said, "How many times have you run out that door? And you're going to have a good time only to find out that life will lock you out time to time. And you think when you're going to come back that I'm going to be mad at you. How many times I've thought, well, if I come home, God's going to beat on me, God's going to judge me, God's going to be mean to me. But how many can testify that he's a God of mercy? And where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And I don't know who God sent me after here today. You may not be gone in the physical, but you're gone in the spiritual. You're far from God, and you're one step from really being gone. You're one step from making a life-changing decision that's going to destroy everything. And God sent this little country preacher by to tell you, it's time to come home. You can come home before you destroy everything. And today, God has set this to be your moment. You've wandered far away from God, but now, I'm coming home. I've wandered far away from God, but now, I'm coming home. A teenager can come home. A mother can come home. A daddy can come home. And the purpose of this revival is not so the lost people can get saved. Revival so that the house of God can get back to where it needs to be. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we didn't wait till Friday to get our hearts in the right place? What if on Sunday morning we fell on an altar and said, "God, it's been too long since I felt you breathe on me. It's been too long since I felt your power flow through me. Today, God, cleanse me. I'm coming home." This doesn't mean you're in deep sin. This doesn't mean you're in deep immorality. It means that you backslid from where you need to be with God. And let me be honest, I'll be the first one to say it. Old CT needs to come home in some areas this morning. Pastor David Sampson needs to come home in some areas this morning. The sound man needs to come home. The preacher's son needs to come home in some areas. The evangelist, Billy Sampson. We got to be honest. Let's not be churchy. There's areas in our life we need to get closer to God in. Yes, sir. So this morning, from the balcony to the main floor, I'm going to plead with you not to play church this morning. Don't watch other people walk by you to the altar. And let's get on an altar and say, "God, before I leave physically, God, I want to come home spiritually. God, I want to feel your breath. God, I want to stay home. I want to be in the Father's house." As they sing a song of invitation, as we stand to our feet all over the church, from the balcony to the main floor, I'm asking you to get out of your seat and come do business with God this morning. Come now.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.